Not by hardening against error, but by opening to it, they make room for growth that is not measured in trophies or praise, but in a deepening ease with being human. True dignity is not the stiff composure of the untouchable, but the calm strength of someone who has nothing to hide. It is found not in the absence of wounds, but in the courage to show them without flinching. In choosing to reveal what is tender, uncertain, or unfinished, a person does not lose their worth. They deepen it. Vulnerability, far from weakening, becomes a form of quiet defiance against the cold detachment of pride. It is an act of presence, a willingness to be seen not as an idea or an image, but as a living, changing, incomplete being. And in that openness, dignity unfolds, not as a rigid posture, but as something supple, breathing, and human. To admit a fear, to confess confusion, to let the voice tremble without apology, each of these is a step away from the performance of perfection and toward the grounded beauty of authenticity. The more one dares to reveal what might once have been hidden in shame, the more others feel invited to do the same. There is no need for armor when the soul stands in its truth. The very act of exposure becomes its own protection, disarming judgment with sincerity. It is in moments of shared uncertainty, when silence lingers, when tears come unbidden, when the words falter, that a strange clarity often emerges. The facade, once so carefully maintained, falls away, and what remains is something far more resilient. For what could be more unshakable than a person who no longer fears being broken? Dignity, when rooted in vulnerability, does not demand reverence. It invites connection. It speaks not from above, but from beside, from the place where all are flawed and therefore capable of love. A first step toward inner balance often begins not with dramatic change or sudden clarity, but with a subtle shift, a quiet pause in the rhythm of striving. It emerges in the instant when the chase for control loosens its grip and the demand to be constant, flawless, or certain finally yields. In that stillness, something essential stirs. The recognition that balance is not the absence of tension, but the ability to remain steady within it. No lasting calm can grow where self-rejection lingers. It is only by turning inward with a gentler gaze that equilibrium becomes possible. Accepting the contradictory parts of the self, the longing and the doubt, the confidence and the fear, allows the ground beneath to stop trembling. Nothing has to be silenced, nothing forced into hiding. Inner balance is not achieved by silencing unrest, but by learning to listen to it without being undone. That first step often takes the form of acknowledgement, of fatigue long ignored, of resentment quietly growing, of hopes postponed for the sake of some imagined later perfection. Simply naming what has been endured without judgment opens a door to renewal. In that act, pressure begins to lift, replaced not by euphoria, but by a more stable, enduring sense of coherence. As attention returns from scattered demands to the center of one's own being, even the breath feels altered, fuller, less hurried, more one's own. Not every problem must be solved at once. Not every wound must heal before life resumes. The work of balance begins with allowing space for what is, rather than forever yearning for what should be. This return to inner alignment is not an escape from responsibility or ambition, but a reordering of priorities. It means placing well-being not at the edge of life, but at its core, not as a luxury, but as a necessity. One learns, often with difficulty, to offer oneself the same care that is so easily extended to others, and in doing so, discovers the beginning of something unshakable. That beginning may not announce itself with fanfare. It may arrive as silence, as stillness, as a morning when the heart no longer races toward the next demand. But in that quiet moment, the path becomes visible, not as a straight line, but as a rhythm, a step, a pause, a breath, and then another. Chapter 2. Seriousness and Its Limits. There comes a point when the relentless weight of solemnity begins to erode not only the joy of living, but the capacity to endure it. What begins as a noble intent, the desire to act responsibly, to engage meaningfully, to be taken seriously, can, when left unchecked, transform into a quiet tyranny. Life seen only through the lens of consequence and correctness gradually loses its texture, its color, its unpredictability. Taking life seriously is not a flaw in itself. It becomes burdensome only when it begins to crowd out levity, when it leaves no room for spontaneity, for the absurd, for the graceful disorder of being human. The problem